Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, live today, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Titans get shellacked 27-3 yesterday. Best way to put it. We say hello now to former Titans punter Brett Kern, who's on the line with us. Brett, not a good day for the two-tone blue, but how are you?
It was a rough one yesterday.
Yeah, your buddy Ryan Stonehouse got a lot of work in yesterday. I kind of felt bad
too,
for him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? It's one of those days. You know, I think he had seven punts, averaged over 50 as always, and had some direction on it, had a couple I-20s, and really kind of helped field position backing Cleveland up a little bit. But never a good time when the punter is kind of the busiest guy. So
what is the conversation like on the sideline when you realize that they got a defensive front, Myles Garrett obviously being the focal point of that is just they're getting through any type of protection that you throw against them? I mean, I felt so bad for Ryan yesterday because he literally had no time.
Yeah, it's more of a let's hope nobody gets hurt and who do we play next week. It kind of felt like that yesterday. When Schwartzies is in the fourth quarter, kind of having a little chuckle on his face because he knows he could pretty much do whatever he wants. The Titans, they had to keep Chig in to help Chip. And then obviously the times when you couldn't do that, when you're, third and long, third and 12, and you're not in the short third and manageable to get a first down, you become predictable, right? And so you could see that front. I mean, they're digging their cleats in. They have to pass the ball, right? And so it's a passing situation. Let's tee off. They can't keep somebody into Chip, and it's one-on-one, and let's get after the quarterback. And so, we talked about it yesterday. I mean, I knew the Browns were not going to give up on the run. They only, had 78 yards rushing, but they had 31 attempts, which isn't great. I mean, that's, what, 2.5, per attempt. But when you got somebody like Elijah Moore, who's, kind of that scat, not quite running back, even though they put him in the backfield, but, that slot receiver who had, I think, 9 catches for 49, 50 yards, well, that's 5.5 on the quick game, right? 5.5 per catch, and it's quick. And so if you necessarily can't run the ball, they're finding ways to get it out quick and out of Deshaun's hands quick, whereas the Titans necessarily don't have somebody like that to run quick game, right? DeAndre's not like that. Burks isn't like that. You don't have Kyle Phillips, so it becomes tough, right? And you become predictable.
The other thing too, Brett, was Derrick Henry, 11 carries, 20 yards, could not get anything going. His longest was a 9-yard run, but I felt like they were trying anything and everything to get him going, whether it was pitches or running it up the middle, trying to go to the outside. What did you see that they were doing to stop 22? Because that ultimately is what I think led to the offense not really being able to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pressure. It's, getting that pressure in the backfield. Derek, when someone's at his feet early, it's he really can't get going. But when he can get, those first 4 or 5 steps, and no one's touching him till, 2-3 yards past the line of scrimmage, it's a long day for the defense. But they were penetrating. They were getting in the backfield pretty easily. And, the Browns early, they had the 2 reverse plays in a row with a throwback, kind of like a flea flicker, really just kind of kept the defense from, really teeing off or keying off on that run, for the Browns, just try to get some room, right? You start running these trick plays to keep the defense honest, and the Titans just, they didn't have anything like that up their sleeves. And so it became, we're going to load the box and we're going to pressure you. We're going to pressure you. I mean, that's what Schwartzy does, and makes it extremely, extremely uncomfortable. And that's kind of what the result was yesterday.
Talking to former Titans punter, Brett Kern. Brett, I know you watched the game yesterday, but before half, when that ball went to where and Tannehill gets sacked and there's no timeouts and the clock's running down and Vrabel walking off the sidelines, you spent many years in that locker room going at halftime when things weren't going well. What do you think Mr. Vrabel said to the football team?
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I probably can't repeat it over the radio. it was just that kind of day. You could just tell him walking off the sidelines, like, we can't, especially when you get down to the red zone, you can't only send, 2 guys out on routes, right? Or even 3 guys. Like, it's the space gets so much tighter, it gets condensed, you need guys out to give Ryan multiple options. Well, if that's the case, you're going to have one-on-one matchups, right? And, you know, you're putting Dillard on Myles Garrett one-on-one in a situation where you can't take a sack and Ryan either has to throw it out of bounds, pass the line of scrimmage, right, or out of the back of the end zone, but it can't be intentional grounding because then that would end the half as well. So it was just a bad situation, no timeouts. It was just that kind of day.
In all your years of playing, was there one time where you remember in the first – halfway through the first quarter, you thought to yourself, there's no way we're going to win today? And I ask that because, you know, the first quarter wasn't that bad. They seemed out of sync a little bit, but they weren't down by that much. So it was just surprising. So I wanted to ask you, I mean, you have a feeling that, you know, when things are going bad, when does it hit you? In the first quarter, first drive, first half?
Well, I mean, I don't like to bring up the years we went 2-14 and 3-13, and you kind of felt like that before the game even started. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't take much. You can kind of get a flow of the game pretty early. You know, I mean, the Titans were in it, but you knew the grind to score was going to be tough. You know, when you get that the strip by Murphy Bunting and you're starting in the red zone. And for Cleveland, they're thinking, this is the first time someone's been down here, right, all year, because their defense has been so stout. And then to lose 9 yards, I don't know if I've ever seen four plays minus 9 yards in a field goal, right? So you kind of knew, like, this is going to be tough. And if, you know, that first series of the game and Arden Key misses a point blank just kill shot on Deshaun and then Big Jeff misses him too, instead of really putting kind of what happened last week where they were at Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh's defense just dominated, you know, kind of keeping those thoughts in Deshaun's head, now it's, okay, I just broke two big tackles, made a play, let's roll, right? And that's the last thing you want to give Deshaun, right? When he's rolling, he's confident, he's a pretty darn good quarterback. So I knew, you know, once when Cleveland scored a touchdown that it's going to be pretty tough going from there.
Talking to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joins us every Monday at 9:30 for his analysis on the Titans as they lost 27-3 yesterday. You know, we mentioned DeAndre Hopkins earlier. He only had three receptions, but was targeted 7 times. It feels like that comfort level between him and Tannehill is starting to get there. What adjustments do you want to see, though, to make him more effective?
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame, too, because I think the one that he caught and, you know, a little toe drag swag, you know.
That was a catch.
Grass, that was a catch, right? And we were talking also, you know, if the officials let things play, that Amari Cooper might be scoring a touchdown. Same with New Orleans. You let it play. Like, so it sometimes works for you. Sometimes, like yesterday, you're kind of like, I'm glad you blew the whistle because it could have been a touchdown. But, yeah, I mean, you could tell DeAndre is kind of becoming Brian's security blanket. He's looking for him. You know, I know people are kind of probably criticizing Ryan because he's staring down his receivers or all that kind of stuff like that. Well, when you don't really have much time back there, you want to throw it to somebody that's probably going to have a gold jacket, you know, here in 7-8 years, right? And so, but, you know, DeAndre is going to get everybody's best corner on Sundays. And so can Coach Kelly effectively scheme up something to get DeAndre open as much as possible so that Ryan can, you know, can get him the ball. And that's tough, you know, when you're going against everybody's best. But DeAndre's good enough. I mean, he'll get open. He's got some of the best hands I've ever seen. And, you know, going back to when he was at Houston all those times, it was like, okay, here's DeAndre. He's going to get his 10 for 150, 10 for 160, and 2 touchdowns. It's what it is. So, but that's good to see, though, that, you know, Ryan and DeAndre are off to a good start. You feel like there's some comfort there too with that.
You know, I'm curious of, because you experienced this last year with a review. You had the punt with the Eagles that hit the wire against the 49ers, and they looked at things. And I feel like, you know, the review process is there to try and help the officials get the play right, but still there are times where they don't get it right. And yesterday we saw with the DeAndre catch, it looked like a catch. Gene Steratore on TV is saying that it's a catch, and they ultimately just say the call stands. So from a player's perspective, what are some ways that you think could make that process work better for the officials in getting the play right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it with New Orleans, right, and that whole situation that went down, like there's really no accountability as to what's being talked about. The official kind of goes off into this little booth and he kind of disappears and then he comes back out and gives you the result. Well, you have no idea what that dialogue was, right? They could be saying, yeah, that's a catch, but I don't know how we're going to, you know, where are we going to mark it? What are we going to do this? We're going to tell the other coach, right? Well, I blew the whistle dead and I shouldn't have, but where are we going to mark the ball? Are we going to give the ball to Titans at the six, right? Or Kevin Byard, actually, he scored. He did what he was supposed to do. What would have happened with Amari Cooper? He kind of finished it. Amari Hooker kind of was about to tackle him, didn't really know what was going on. So then how do you go about that, right? And so I think for me, the thing that I was most frustrated with as a player is they come out of the review and they just tell you the result. Well, there's really no explanation of what happened with New York and the official and that conversation, that dialogue. And so, like I said, you know, week one over in the EPL, the English Premier League, that the VAR, when they're reviewing goals and all that kind of stuff, that audio is now going to be made public. I just feel like as a player, as fans, you should kind of know what they're talking about and how they came to that conclusion. And I think that would kind of really shore up a lot of the – it's really inconsistent. It's a lot of inconsistencies in the calls every week. It's not just with the tight – I mean, it happens all across the NFL. Sure. It's just inconsistent officiating. And I feel like if you could hear the audio as to what's going on, I think it would clear up a lot of things.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Brett, before I let you go, one final question. We see that in Vrabel's times here, I mean, they're cutting, signing, releasing guys four, five, six times a week. When you got waived by the Broncos back in 2009, I think it was, what was that like? Did they call you in the office? Did they get you in the parking lot? I mean, that's just got to be something like, oh, my goodness, because your world is turned upside down almost immediately.
Yeah, when I was cutting Denver, they actually didn't this was before iPads and all that kind of stuff. I don't even think I had an iPhone yet. They had playbooks that were in your locker to start special teams meetings the next day, and I didn't have a playbook. And I was with Matt Prater at the time. He kind of joked around, like, you're just a punter. Like, who really cares? They probably don't want to waste. They don't want to waste paper on you, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get it. Well, I start going over the meeting, and one of the coaches says, hey, man, what are you doing here? And I was like, I'm the punter. What are you talking about? And it became extremely awkward. And that's when I kind of knew, like, I'm not supposed to be here and I'm probably going to get cut, but I don't know why. And so then, finally, someone came and got me after an awkward, probably half an hour of just sitting at my locker. I had an equipment guy come up to me and said, hey man, I'm so sorry. Like, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Right. And then so finally, you know, Josh McDaniels calls me up, tells me I'm cut, gives me the trash bag, and, you know, my locker's cleared out. Took everything I could. I mean, I took Gatorades, protein bars. I was like, man, I'm unemployed. I'm going to take everything that I can right now.
Good for you.
And I did. And then, you know, obviously to go home and, you know, tell my wife. And at the time, our son was 6 weeks old. So that was probably the hardest part, knowing, like, you know, I got a 6 week old at home and I don't know if we're going to be here. I might get picked up the next day going somewhere to another city. So, yeah, it's a lot. I feel for those guys that are in and out, in and out, in and out, because it's not easy.
Well, Brett, appreciate the time as always. Hopefully the Titans can rebound and we'll have a win to talk about next week. But thanks so much. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Sounds good. Y'all take care.
You too. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us here on the show as he does every Monday. Enjoy his analysis. We'll continue to take your reaction. 27-3, the final for Cleveland as they shellack the Titans yesterday in Cleveland. 615-737-1025.
Trivia question before we go to the break. He's one of two players, I think, that's played for all four head coaches that have been here since the Titans moved. Who's the other one? Think about it during the break.
I will. I think I know the answer. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game.